Action Park Media.
You're on the ILC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the ILC podcast, powered by Action Park Media. Mike Carver here with you with the Islanders. Break them up. The route was on at the barn on Tuesday night. A 6-1 win over the Rangers as they get ready for three games against the Washington Capitals. Enormous three games with the division still very much up for grabs here as we are coming down the stretch of the NHL season. As always, you can listen to the show anywhere. I mean, come on, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, on and on and on. You know where to find the show. As always, you can get your ILC podcast gear at yesmenoutfitters.com. Devin doing an outstanding job there. Plenty of new Gorton gear. And I got something else on Devin at the end of the show before we get out of here. But, like we said, Islander win over the Rangers, and we kick today off with our man, Jay Berman, who I have not gotten to talk to in a long time. He is now back working with me because he's now at Sports Grid doing updates. So we've missed Jay, and here's Jay back on the ILC podcast. Good afternoon, Jay. How are you?
Mike, it's always special to be with you. It's been too long, and I'm stoked because last night was totally awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it really was. We'll start there, Jay. A 6-1 win over the Rangers. And, you know, coming into the game, you had like that little bit of – and the Ranger fans very mouthy. We know that. They always get very mouthy. They were coming off four games against the Devils where they absolutely beat them pillar to post. Meanwhile, when the Islanders, and this is what bothers the Islander fan, Jay, when the Islanders kick dirt and whack the pinata, as I like to say, about a month and a half ago against the Devils and the Sabres, it was, oh, well, you know, who cares? We'll see what happens when you play real teams, whatever. The Rangers go and whack the pinata for a week and beat the Devils four times, and suddenly the Rangers are this mighty force that was, you know, speeding towards the playoffs. So I think that that's what bothers the Islander fan a lot of times, and rightfully so. That was kind of the narrative going in, but I think that some of the comments after the game, Brendan Smith and others, you know, say it all. The Islanders, Jay, are a playoff-caliber team. We know this from the last few years, and the Rangers, who are going to be good in the next few years, they're not there yet, and the Islanders put them in their place on Tuesday night.
All right, let me just say this, Mikey. Before we get on to the Islanders, from a Rangers point of view, that was a playoff game last night. Absolutely, they're fighting for their lives. They believe because they've killed the Devils, as you said, for a month straight. But they did not show up for a playoff game. And we saw last night two different weight classes. Islanders and Rangers are not on the same level. And that's not to hate. That's just a fact. And as you said, Ranger fans are chirpy. They always are. And I think that there was a lot of pregame Twitter Ranger area stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
About how this was a playoff game. And you know, this is where we carried over from the Devils. I mean, you should never play a team four times in a row. I know the hockey purist loves that, but that's ridiculous.
Well,
and I understand.
Listen, this is a different year. This doesn't normally go on. I mean, there's a lot of teams doing it. This is a strange situation. There's a lot of teams playing each other four times in a row, which is ridiculous, but it's kind of what they have to do to get through this season. So,
see, this is where you and I think might go separate ways. And we've discussed this, you know, personally. I think it's a big deal winning the division. I really, really do. And the biggest reason is because they've lost twice in regulation on home ice. In what, however many, 25 games or whatever it is. They're 18-2 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think 19-2 now.
Correct.
Okay, so why wouldn't the division be important? I understand the goal at the outset is to just make the playoffs. But I think if you have home ice throughout, I think that's huge. Then I think, to me, the conference goes through the Coliseum. No doubt about it. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, yeah, they're 19-2-2 at home. And you're right. At the beginning, I kind of, and I've said this on the show a lot, I wasn't all in on necessarily needing to win the division. I didn't think that it was that big of a deal. I've changed my tune on it quite a bit as we've gotten later and later into this season. I do think it matters now because 19-2-2 is not a trend. I mean, that's serious there. They dominate on home ice. They're extremely good in that building. It's the last run in that building, as we know. I mean, I feel like it's the fifth last run that we've had at the Nassau Coliseum, but it is the last run. They're moving it. They're bumping it up to 25% capacity for, you know, by the time the playoffs come around. So I think that there is some significance. Now, I also thought 2 weeks ago that Boston was maybe kind of not on the same level as the Isles, the Caps, and the Pens, but that's changed over the last 10 days too. Boston is firmly back in the mix among those four teams where any of the four, I believe, can get to the semifinals. But if it all has to go through Long Island, that's going to be a massive key. So yes, Jay, I now believe that winning this East, the Mass Mutual East, as they like to call it, as all the divisions are sponsored this year. Yes, I think that it matters. And these three games coming up with the Caps, which we'll talk about in a moment, I don't think you can lose. You can win the division, Jay, these next three games, but you can lose it. You know, that's you can't win it these next three. Yeah, I mean, even if you swept it, I feel like you have to take care of business. But if you don't take care of business, you can be out of this division after these three games. I think
I agree. I don't think either team sweeps these three games.
No.
It's too much. These teams are too good. They're too good. Especially the Islanders, you know, and I think that, you know, they're not going to ever get love on a national level. And, you know, Islanders Twitter likes to make jokes about how they're disrespected, and rightfully so. It's been an awful several decades, you know. But I think things have changed. I really do. I absolutely believe, like, here's the thing. I'm looking at the standings. I absolutely believe in the Lightning. That's the one team I'm still not sure the Islanders can beat. The Islanders can beat, in the postseason, the Hurricanes. I believe they can. Panthers, yes. Let's say the Predators make it over the Stars for the fourth spot in the Central. I mean, I don't know. They got to be better than Nashville.
Well, look,
they're
only going to see the best teams out of these divisions, Jay, because that's just the way it works this year. So
that's my point.
The only teams, and I've said this before too, they're one of the five best teams. I think that they're one of the five teams that can win the Cup, or one of the top five, as you should say. Look, Tampa's there, as we know. Vegas, Colorado. I don't put any of the North teams there. I don't care how many points Toronto gets during the regular season. They're not going to win the Cup. It's the Islanders, the Caps, it's Tampa, it's Vegas and Colorado. Those are kind of like my five right now, with Boston suddenly screeching their way back towards that mix. I don't put Carolina and Florida there, but I do think that if Carolina got out, the Isles could lose to them. They don't play well against Carolina, Jay. Now, this is a different year. I understand that, but that team is always a bad matchup for the Islanders. But they got to get to that point first, and this is going to be an absolute gauntlet that they've got to go through the first two rounds to get through this division and be one of those four teams left standing at the end.
This is it, man. This is for the division. Again, I don't think either team sweeps just because these teams are too good. But, you know, the way the Islanders play on home ice, regardless of the opponent, you have to give them the win. You do. So if you get more home games than road games, you're going to win series. It doesn't matter how many games it takes. If it takes seven, well, you've earned the right to play a home game in game seven. We saw it last year in the bubble against the Flyers. You know, the Flyers were winning overtime games left and right. And the Islanders, game seven, were like, you know what? Enough. Now we play our way.
Right.
And I think that the Islanders have the ability to do that. So my guess is, you didn't ask for my prediction, but I'd like to say that I think the Islanders win the division. I really do.
Yeah, I'm getting there as well, especially if they take all you need to do, in my opinion, is take two out of three from Washington here. You have two of the games at home. The third game, of course, is going to be down in D.C. They win two of these three games, Jay. To me, they can absolutely do it, because their ramp in to the end of the season is they go back to those teams that they have taken care of business against all year. Two with Buffalo, two with Jersey. In the final week of the season. So that's going to be massive. So if you could get the two out of three against the Caps, play the Rangers again two more games, and then you get that Buffalo-New Jersey finish, and they do have one game with the Bruins, that makeup game on May the 10th. It's there for them. There's no doubt that they can absolutely get this done, and I do think that it's key. other thing for the Islanders right now is scoring goals. It's been a problem up before the six that they put up on the Rangers on Tuesday night. They had a stretch where I believe it was 11 goals in 9 games or something silly like that. But the thing is, Jay, they went 6-3 in those games. You know, so that they were still as dreary as it looked and as bad as it looked at times, especially those two games in Boston against the Bruins. They've come out of this like tough patch where they couldn't score, and they did get points in a majority of the games, and now maybe they've busted out with a 6th spot against the Rangers as they get ready to play the Caps. So offense, and they have this every year, Jay, it seems like, since Trotz has been here. They will go through a week and a half, 2-week stretch, sometimes two of them in a year, where they can't score goals. It's just the way the team is built. They will go cold, and they've done that for the last 2 weeks up until Tuesday night.
No doubt about it. It's definitely a concern. I will say this, and it troubles me to say because it troubles me to think about. Oliver Wallstrom was a real weapon, specifically on the power play.
Yeah.
And you know what happened? The Islanders improved their team, and they made a trade with the Devils. So they landed these two guys who are well worthy of being in the lineup, especially when the playoffs come around, because they're great veterans. But Oliver Wallstrom now doesn't see the light of day. And those things, they connect directly. And for some reason now, the guy can't even crack the lineup. And when he does, he's invisible. So I'm nervous about how that trade goes. This is not the Pageot trade. That was a great trade, and it was a great signing because he's a great player. This is not what that situation is. So everyone's like, you know, two straight deadlines that Lou made these great trades. But, you know, I don't know. I'm nervous about that. We discussed it as it happened, Mike, over those couple of days when it really didn't make much sense from, you know, Trotz and Lamorello's point of view. We were confused about the whole thing. The trade essentially meant that Wallstrom was going to the bench.
That's the big thing for me, and I'm interested how it's going to play out once we get to the playoffs, and I think you're kind of getting a look at how it is going to play out. Unfortunately, I think that the kid's going to be left out,
he's not going to play.
And unfortunately, I haven't really gotten to do too many shows here the past couple of weeks, and I haven't gotten to talk about this trade. I like this trade, Jay. Now look. I don't like it at the expense of Oliver Wallstrom not playing.
Right.
But I do like the trade, and I think that it's a good deal, especially if they can make some distance like they did last year in the playoffs. It's a different type of trade than the Pageot trade, but it fills short-term needs that they're going to have going into this playoff run. Now, you haven't seen a lot from Palmieri. And forget Zajac. I'm not going to get on Zajac if the points aren't there. Now he's got a couple of points.
No, he's a better player than Palmieri. His penalty killing and his faceoffs are great.
But yeah, he didn't come here to replace the goal scoring that Anders Lee lost when he went down. That's more of what Palmieri came here to do.
He's been quiet.
He has been, and I think and there's still some adjustment period here, Jay. I think there is, but it's not like the whole team's been quiet. That's why it's hard for me to really zero in and go, well, these two guys showed up and the team's going. This team has had history of going cold like this. So I don't want to put it all that these two guys came in the lineup, the Islanders stopped scoring goals. But I think there is a correlation that the kid comes out of the lineup who was doing, you know, had a really nice spot, a regular spot playing with Pageot there. And he's now in and out of the lineup, out of the lineup per se. I don't think that he's going to be there. And that kind of bothers me because I think that he does bring something a little extra spark. And I think that Barry, at the beginning of the playoffs at least, you know what he's going to do, Jay. He's going to roll veteran lineup. He's going to – now this is assuming everybody's healthy. Of course, Clutterbuck's missed a couple games here. We don't know what's going to go on with him. They get Bailey back in the lineup on Tuesday night. Assuming everybody's healthy, Jay, I think that he's going to play, you know, a Leo Komarov over Wallstrom because he wants that. Barry loves that veteran presence, and I think that that's where, unfortunately, the kid's going to get squeezed out.
If I said 3 weeks ago that Leo would play, and they were both healthy, if the playoffs started then, that Leo would be playing over Wahlstrom, you would have said, that's crazy. He must have gotten injured or something. But no, he's just been demoted. And not to harp on it, it's just weird because I like the trade too. They did not give up much, and they got two cagey veterans. I like it very much. But Mike, we talked about it real time. We were like, what is going on? Why is Wahlstrom not playing? Why is he then playing and being, you know, his original invisible self? You know, the games that he does play, he's not effective. He's just not. So
yeah, I don't know if that's partially part of the reason why he's not playing, Jay. Is Barry and the staff seen something different in him to where, you know, I don't want to say the magic's been lost. The kid had an unbelievable month of March. I mean, honestly, he was excellent for them. Scored a ton of big goals for this team. And now, like you say, he's kind of like an afterthought. Like, you just don't, unless there's a couple injuries, it doesn't seem like he's going to be in the mix. And I think that might be a little bit of a mistake. I think it's a little bit of a mistake. But here's the other thing. And Barry had this great line the other day where he's like, I know, you guys don't like, the fans don't like Leo because he's not, a fantasy hockey type of name and all that. And I get people don't want to see Leo Komarov in the lineup. I got to give him a little bit of credit. He hasn't been awful, Jay. Like,
no, he's been much better.
He hasn't been awful, to be fair. Now, that I'm not saying that I want to. That means that he should be playing every day over, a guy like a kid like Wahlstrom. I'm not saying that, but he hasn't been completely awful. Like, he's bringing the team down while he's out there. He's made some nice plays. It helps who he's playing with, but he's made some nice plays.
It's amazing because we take Wahlstrom from the lineup, and now the power play is like invisible.
The power play is embarrassing.
They don't even shoot.
The power play is completely embarrassing, Jay. This has been a problem for years. I thought the first 6 weeks of this season that it looked better, and there were times when Wahlstrom was out there and it did look better. But even when he's played the past couple of weeks, it is flat out embarrassing. There's a couple of spots where the power play could have really put a few of these games away. Because there's a few games they won where I go back to that Flyer game where they had the 5-minute major after they got up 2-0 in the first period, and they did absolutely nothing for 5 minutes.
One more goal, that game would have ended.
They score a goal in that 5-minute, and it never even gets to the position that it got to. It is what it is, Jay, and their power play has long been a problem, but they have to figure something out. You need some type of power play scoring to get to the end. You just do. You need to be able to score key power play goals in the playoffs, and right now, this team can't score power play goals, period. End of story. They can't do it, Jay. It's really tough to watch sometimes, and it's good for them that they finally, got off the schneid a little bit Tuesday night. Beauvillier did get a power play goal in there. I think it was in the second period. He had a big night too, by the way, 4 points for Bo. But the power play has not been good. It's been awful.
Real quick on that, because I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I consider him my bubble guy because he was so good in the bubble last year. And I have the utmost confidence that Beauvillier will be a difference maker in the playoffs once again. I believe it because that's the kind of player that he is. He's got a little it's funny. The first person that popped into my head was Jeter. He's not Jeter, but that sort of split where once the playoffs start, you're otherworldly. You're one of the best players on the ice, and I think that's what makes me think of that comparison. But so I believe that's coming, but other guys need to step up. It's funny. I think about it all the time, and it just makes me so sad that he got hurt. And it's amazing because I still believe, even without him, I still believe that they're a cup contender. But the fact that he's not there feels bad. It just doesn't feel right. It's weird. It's strange because it can go both ways.
Right. And they have used a couple of different combinations here over the last few games, and I think that Barry, when something works, Barry sticks with it. So, you know, the Zajac, Barzal, Eberle, and seeing Pageau with Beauvillier and Palmieri, like I that's stuff that he's probably going to, Jay, run with for a little while here. And Leo's probably going to play with Zegras and Martin if Clutterbuck's not going to be back soon. So I think that those are going to be some combinations that when you see them work, you know you're going to go back to them the next time. And even Dal Cole's gotten a chance to get in there and play, which he did
there
on Tuesday
go.
Night. I know.
Here we go.
Here we go.
That's funny because, like, on Twitter last night, Tuesday night, everybody was like, I mean, he wasn't invisible. He wasn't his typical invisible self. So suddenly now Dal Cole's a key piece. Come on.
No, well, he's good in spots. He's one of those guys there. You put him in one game, you kind of notice him. But if you played him six games in a row, by the fourth or fifth one, you're basically, you're once again saying to yourself, why the hell is this guy playing? You see that? But that,
he's invisible more than he is.
He gets in there, he makes a couple of, you know, plays, and you say, wow, you know, maybe this is going to turn, maybe MDC can play every night. And then by the fourth, fifth, or sixth game, you're going, yeah, can we get this guy out of the lineup? Enough of it already. We can't take it. The White Whale, Jay.
Don't get me started.
This guy, let's be fair. We had some fun here for years. You know that I did. The way the White Whale name came about was because of I never thought he was going to come here, things like that. He has been everything is advertised. This dude is unbelievable. Coming over from the KHL, the way that he has played this year, and I know the Islanders have the best defensive system in the NHL. That helps a lot of goaltenders out. Just look at the last few years with Greiss and with Leonard and even with Varlamov the last few years. I get that part of it. This dude makes some 10 bell saves that are, I mean, the game against Philly the other night, the 1-0 game, ridiculous, the saves that he was making. And I didn't think he would be as advertised this quickly, Jay, and he has been. What a job by Sorokin this year. He's been excellent.
Do you remember when I said to you, you probably don't, but when we were discussing in the bubble last year, we were talking about, don't forget, Sorokin's coming.
Yeah.
And I just assumed, it didn't click in my mind at any point in time, but I just assumed right off the bat that he was going to be the number one goalie, specifically because of his age. He's not a teenager, and he has a lot of, you know, professional experience. And what we're learning now is that he is the better goalie. And I believe if things stay on this course, I believe he gets the game one start in the playoffs. I know you totally disagree.
I do disagree. And here's why I disagree. As great as he's been, and I think that he will give Barry something to think about here in terms of it, he is going to go veteran, guy who has been there, guy who has done it. Game one of the playoffs. I'm not saying he might not need both guys because he needed that in the bubble. He needed to go to Greiss at times, especially that game seven against Philadelphia. But I think that both guys will be needed, and I think that this schedule also is going to make you need both guys, Jay, because I think you're going to see something similar to what you saw in the bubble. They're trying to get this thing done in a quick amount of time, and they're going to be starting later with who knows when they're starting the East with these games made up. I know Vancouver's got a billion games to make up. These series, you're going to see a lot of what you saw in the bubble. A lot of back-to-backs. A lot of 3 and 4 nights. I think you're going to see a ton of that, especially in the first two rounds. So you may need both guys, but when it comes to game one, who's getting the start? He's putting Varlamov in because he did it for him last year. He's the veteran. He's got the experience. That's how it's going to go. As good as Sorokin has played, Barry is going to lean on that when it's night one of the playoffs.
All right, so let's just assume that that's the way it goes. What do you think should be the rotation starting in game one? Who should get the start? What do you think it should be? Not what it's going to be.
I think it should be Varlamov. I do.
Yeah, see, I think that just talent-wise,
he hasn't been a hack this year, Jay. He's been very good. I like it very much.
I think that the duo is great. But when the playoffs start, and if you start winning games in the playoffs, it's the goalie that's in when for those wins. You know, let's say the Islanders lose a close game one, game two. Who do you start?
Right. No, you're right. And but he's been so good that that question is now going to be asked. You know, that's
the point, that he's been that good.
Yes, he has been that good where if you're in a situation where you think a goaltending change can be beneficial to you, it's going to be an easy move for Barry because of how good the kid has been. Now, he's never – I'm throwing the bouquets at him. He's been a lot better than I thought he was going to be immediately. But we do know that the playoffs is another animal. I hope that he gets a crack because I do think that both guys are going to be needed. I think it's just like last year. I think it is very hard in today's NHL to go wire-to-wire with one goalie. Now, some guys are special. Vasilevsky's special. I mean, Tampa did it last. You know, not every goalie is like that. But there are the days of the Brodeurs and the Wahs are over, Jay. You need two guys to get to the top of the mountain. And I think that we will see Sorokin at some point in the playoffs, but it will not be the first game, no matter who it's going to be against. Now, if they were playing Philly, maybe, because what's Sorokin? He's like 6-0 against the Flyers this year. I mean, he's been unbelievable against Philadelphia. But no matter the opponent, it's going to be Varley in game one. Just is.
You know, it's interesting because, and by the way, everybody beats up on the Flyers. How bad are the Flyers?
They suck.
Just looking at the standings again.
They're awful.
I mean, they're 500 team. 500 in hockey is miserable.
Yeah. Really bad team. They've had and they had a lot. They were one of those teams people thought were going after what they did in the playoffs last year, getting to the second round, how good they were early in the bubble, that they would be there. No, they stink. They're just not a good team. They still have the same problem as always with them, goaltending. They don't have any. They have no goaltending.
Yeah, it's also funny when the Bruins whipped up on the Islanders two straight games, that killed the Rangers because, you know, the Rangers needed the Islanders to beat the Bruins. And, of course, the Islanders got smoked in two straight. And that killed the Rangers. But now the Rangers are six back of the Bruins.
Now, they did get smoked by him. But, I mean, the law of averages were eventually going to come into play here. The Islanders were 5-0 against the Bruins going into those two games. Something was eventually going to give. It just was because that team is too good. They just are. And that's the one team, Jay, honestly, I still don't want to play them. I want no part of them. I know the Islanders have been good against them this year. Out of all the options currently on the table, Washington, Pittsburgh, and Boston, I would like to try to avoid that option. But this is – all these series are going to be tough. They're
all going
to be tough.
Well, if you win the division, you're going to have to play Boston.
Not necessarily. They're right there. They continue to win games. They could be third. They could be second. Hell, these other two, they keep winning games. They could be in first, Jay. It's not out of the question. They are right there. They're 58.
Their schedule's hard because they have to make up so many games.
Yeah, but they got a lot of games left with Buffalo. They got a lot of games left with Buffalo. They can have, and Buffalo played them hard on Tuesday night, that 2-0 game. But it's there for them. They're 4 points back, and they've got games in hand. Bruins can still win a division.
That May 11th, because they added the day at the end. Yeah. So May 11th is the last day of the season. That's a makeup game, Isles Bruins. That could be huge for both teams.
Could be the division. Could be home ice. Could be a bunch of things that are going
to
be decided
the
in the game.
Just to get
and
in,
the Bruins
you know?
Have to play the next night also. The Bruins play the Caps on the 12th.
Do they
so
really?
They play the Islanders on the 11th, and then they play the Capitals on the 12th to finish their season.
I thought the 11th was the last day.
No,
so I guess they added
there's
the
a bunch of games on the 12th as well. Including Bruins Caps. So the Islanders finished on the 11th, and they've got 10 games to go here, Jay. This is it. End of the line. They play 3 with Washington, 2 with the Rangers, 2 with Buffalo, 2 with Jersey, 1 with the Bruins. That is the Islanders' lead-in to the playoffs right there. So, and it starts with a massive 3 games here. They've played the Capitals. This has been a very home-dominated series so far this year. The Islanders have been excellent against the Capitals at home at the Barn, just like they've been excellent home against everybody, and they have struggled down in D.C. Games, honestly, they were in, and they either had a late goal that first game in D.C., they were tied late in the third, they gave up a bad goal. The one game in D.C., they had the 3-0 lead after the first period and then gave up 5 or 6 goals in the second. They've had some weird games down in D.C., but these two teams play some wild games. And the next 3 games are going to be very interesting to determine in this division.
Yeah, let me just say this, because I'm looking at the Islanders' schedule now. It's really interesting, and I'm not trying to be a hater here, but let's be serious. These 3 games are for the division, because you look at the Islanders' schedule after that, it is not hard. It's at the Garden, and then at the Coliseum against the Rangers, then it's two Sabres, two Devils.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily win all those games.
Yeah, you could, but this does not wrap anything up at any stretch of the imagination. Like I said at the top, you can lose the division the next three games, but you cannot win it. There is still going to be a ton of work to be done, even if you play well in these three games against the Capitals, in order for you to secure home ice, to secure a possible one seed, all those things. There is still a lot of work that's going to have to be done, Jay. It's just that simple.
You know, there was a lot of talk about how the Islanders' schedule got so much tougher because they weren't playing those teams anymore. But what's funny is if you take out the Boston game, which was added on as a makeup game, the last four are against the Sabres and Devils.
Right.
So, you know, look, it's like they're not going to get any love going into the playoffs.
All these teams play the same schedule. All right? I get it. When you play them is different, but, I mean, the Capitals are playing the Devils and the Sabres eight times, too.
No doubt.
So are the Penguins. And the Penguins lost the game to the Sabres over the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just you got to play them at the right time. The Islanders played the Sabres at a time when they were at their lowest this year. And the Sabres now are playing better hockey. They've won a couple games. They beat the Caps last Thursday. They beat the Pens over the weekend. They played the Bruins tough in a 2-0 game. So even though we're sitting here going, well, you know, they're playing the Sabres and the Devils like that final week, Sabres are playing better hockey now. So it really doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, for what it's worth, which is not much. Sabres are only three back of the Devils for the seventh spot. Now, that's also the number one. I mean, you get the most lottery balls, I guess. But this, you know, because the Sabres have the fewest points in the NHL, 31. Devils are next at 34. Imagine the Devils with another top pick. And they just, I'm not saying these guys aren't good, but the Devils aren't good. So most certainly not because of those guys. But, I mean, you should get good players at the top of the draft, good enough to sort of change the fortunes of your franchise. It just doesn't work for the Devils. I don't know why.
It is. Listen, they're still building, Jay. It is what it is. They've gotten two pieces now these past couple of years, they're still a building team as far as I'm concerned. When they didn't get to re-sign Hall, that kind of changed a lot of things for them. And now they have Hischier and they have Hughes, and they will build from that. And that's what they'll do. And the Sabres have a long way to go as well. They're going to trade Eichel in the offseason, maybe, depending on this injury situation with them. They're going to trade Eichel and things are going to look different. But forget those teams. Hopefully they're playing their worst hockey of the year, the last week of the season when the Islanders have to win those four games potentially to win the East. And that's it for me, Jay. You know, I think 2 out of 3 is what I'm looking for here against the Capitals.
Yeah, 4 points.
You know, the I'm sure there'll be some overtime games sprinkled in where both teams are going to net points in a couple of these games. However you slice it, get me 2 out of 3 wins against the Caps over these next three, and I think the Islanders will be in great shape to over their final 7 games. They can possibly control their own way to winning this division, which is what that you want.
I think, despite the fact that the Penguins are only a point back and basically have the same record, they all have 29 wins. You know, as you said, it was a good point. 3-point games; those are killers for the Penguins and the Bruins because the Capitals and Islanders could easily play 3 3-point games right here, and that just kills the 3 and 4 Penguins Bruins. Even though the Penguins are still one back, I think the division goes through the Capitals or Islanders. And I'm not discounting the Penguins, but because they've been playing much better. But I think the Capitals and Islanders are better than the Penguins. I really do.
No, I'm with you. I think that there's a little bit of a divide there. The Penguins, I think, have done an amazing job with smoke and mirrors this year. Honestly, they find these guys off the street and they score big goals for him. It's crazy how the Penguins do it. But it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. And the Islanders now, hopefully, Jay, they take these goals that they scored on Tuesday, and you roll that into these next couple games, and you start finding the back of the net again. I have no confidence whatsoever in the power play. It absolutely stinks. They've got but the one thing is right. They look playoff ready now. They look playoff ready, because even though they weren't scoring goals, they were playing those low-scoring, grindy type of games that you need once the playoffs start. So that's all it is to me.
Let's be honest. That's how they play every day. It's Barry Trotz. That's how he expects the team to play.
But that's why I wasn't worried when they weren't scoring goals the last 2 weeks, Jay, because they've done this now over the past couple years. Like, this isn't something where you can get nervous and give up and say, ah, this team sucks, they're not going to do anything. They've now given you enough collateral, enough you know, basis, enough you know, examples to show you that they're going to be there when it matters. And these regular season games where they go into these scoring droughts, they do brush them off and they find their way in the playoffs. That's what matters to me.
I think except for Tampa, because they're the champs and they're still good. So you got to give them their love. I think those other teams in, you know, I'll say the Eastern Conference, but you know what I mean.
Like, well, yeah, yeah.
Carolina, Florida, you know, those type teams, I think they fear the Islanders, 100%. There is no doubt in my mind, because they know how they play in the playoffs.
Yeah, and all these teams have got a long way before they see each other. We see how all four of these divisions are so tight, 1 through 3.
Oh, yeah.
The West, 1 through 2. We know that Vegas and Colorado are a class there, but the East is the best division, and I know that it's hard to say that when the Devils and Sabres are there, but 1 through 5, they're the best division this year in hockey.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Do the Canadian teams need to play their playoffs in the United States?
No.
Like, what happens?
No, I believe they're playing the first two rounds. Everything will be up there.
Okay, so then what happens after that?
I couldn't even tell you. I'm sure the NHL doesn't even know what they're doing. So.
All right.
They'll probably make whoever the one Canadian team is come across and have to play here.
Right.
I thought I saw they might play in Buffalo, something like that. They're gonna.
Yeah, because you can't go back and forth.
No, they're not gonna be able to go back and forth. So whoever comes out of that division is most likely going to have to come down here and use either Buffalo or somewhere else as their home rink for the playoffs. Which is, know what? It's unfortunate, but it is what it is, Jay. That's kind of the world that we're living in right now.
Would love to see Tavares in a conference final, semifinal.
You want a lot of juice? Get me Islanders Maple Leafs in that Final Four. That'll have some juice. That'll have some juice, Jay.
I'm still angry about that series. I can still see Jason Blake sitting outside the locker room on the floor with, like, his head in his hands. Remember?
Oh, boy. That crazy. That was some series.
Yeah, that was one of the best playoff series in any sport I've ever
seen. And this one will have even more juice, especially with 91 playing for them. But they're not even going to get there, Jay. They're not even going to get out of that division. I think Winnipeg beats them before they even get to the Final Four.
Yeah,
They never get it done in a big spot. And I think that Winnipeg has a good enough D, good enough goaltending that they will eliminate Toronto before they even get there. So the Islanders now get ready for the Caps. Great win over the Rangers. Finally bust out the goal column after a couple weeks where they just couldn't find the net. Same problems as always. We'll see if the power play can get going. And they have two excellent goaltenders here to take them down the stretch run. We'll try to get back to you a couple more regularly. It has been slow. I understand that. Apologies all around. It has been very hard to put out consistent shows with everything going on at home. But we are going to make it work as best as we can. Jay, my man, thanks for joining today. Great having you.
All the love, Mike, and let's go, Isles.
My thanks to Jay Berman right there. I love hanging out with Jay for a little while. I haven't talked to him in a bit about the Isles, so good to get Jay in the mix. Like I was saying, we will try to get a little bit more regular. I know I've said that a bunch here the past couple times we've had shows. It has not been easy, but we are definitely going to try to ramp up a few more as we get into the playoffs and as we continue to roll along here with the Isle Seat Podcast, because we expect another deep, hopefully, Islander playoff run here. So my thanks to Jay. And we will get together during these Capital games over the next week, because they are the biggest games of the season. These three games against Washington will determine a lot, as we now only have 10 games left to go in the Islander season. My thanks to Jay again. My thanks to Action Park Media and the crew over there, always taking care of business. Get your Isle Seat Podcast gear at yesmenoutfitters.com. Tremendous job by Devin, by the way. He had the Gorton goalie tees. Hired Spectrum Designs in Port Washington to print that design for him. And Spectrum hires those that are intellectually and developmentally disabled to run the presses on those shirts. So Devin then took $10 from each tee that was sold, donated to My Buddies New York, organization that Barry Trotz is involved with, of course, with his son Nolan. So nice job by Devin. They sold 500 shirts, 5K donated in honor of Nolan and the Trotz family. So tremendous job by Devin over at Yes Men Outfitters. Once again, making things happen right there. So I will see you guys a couple days. We'll see what happens with the Capitals, and we will talk about a couple post-game shows. I'll see podcast, Mike Carver. See you then.